Ken Rawson will open with a prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we do humbly bow before you this morning hour. We thank you for this season of convention. We thank you especially because it has been a season of fellowship with the Divine Family. We have realized by faith your presence with us here daily in a special way, the presence of our elder brother, and the precious, precious fellowship of your children, our brethren, the fellowship of saints, has been so meaningful. And now we look forward to further blessings from your storehouse of truth. We pray your blessing on our brother Freeman, that his words might not just stimulate our minds, but stimulate our hearts. We pray that his words might give us deeper insight into your will for us in our daily walk, and greater insights into your glorious character. And might the sum total of this convention be that we're just lost in your love and so overwhelmed with your love that we just want to be like you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
The title of Brother Freeman Thompson's discourse is Strong Delusions. So, Brother Freeman.
Good morning, good brethren. Hopefully you all had a nice and restful, peaceful night. For myself, I have certainly enjoyed being here with you, dear ones, here in Phoenix, my first time that I've even stopped in Phoenix. Other than passing through, I've never been here before. But it certainly has been a blessing, and it's been a pleasure to meet ones that I've known for many, many years, and to meet new ones that I have never been acquainted with. It's my first time meeting my dear brother sitting here in front of me here, Brother Homer and Sister. Monte. I've heard the names, but I've never had the opportunity. Brother Leo, it's been nice, our little short fellowship that we've had. It's been a real blessing to me. Brethren, I talking about something I heard a couple of times this morning already mentioned. Big Brother Alex said twice that this is the last day, the last day of the convention in this particular sense, but this is the last day. It's also the third day. Strong delusions. First of all, we want to look at something here, and hopefully we can cover why the strong delusions are permitted. Not necessarily in the order that I mentioned them now, but who will be affected? How may we escape the delusions? It's from Strong's Greek 4106, and I'm sure there's some in here that may be a Greek scholar or whatever the case might be, but I have a terrible time trying to mention some of the names here, but it's Greek 4107. It means deceit, to deceive, delusion, error. Reader's Digest, Encyclopedic Dictionary states, one, the art of deluding. Two, the state of being deluded or led astray. Three, a false belief, especially when persistent. Brother Russell's comments you may want to read in 2274, and he states that a delusion is an error which, when viewed from certain standpoints of observation, has the appearance of truth. And we're referring specifically to the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. I looked at several renderings on this, and we're going to look at this for just a moment. In the Diaglot, it reads in verse 11, and on this account, God will send them an energy of delusion to their believing the falsehood. In the King James, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In the New American Standard, and for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. In the NIV, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. The Revised Standard, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. In the Weymouth, and for this reason, God sends them a fatal delusion that they may believe that lie. We're going to look at verse 12 for a moment in the different renderings. And the word damned is used in the King James, but that's not the correct translation. That they all might be damned who believe not the lie, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. NIV states it as, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And the RSV states, so that all may be condemned. It uses the same word condemned here in that particular rendering. The word damned in verse 12 of the King James translation, as I stated, is rendered condemned in both the NIV and the RSV. How are they condemned? Condemned as unworthy of being a member of the bride class. Just the same as it was at the end of the Jewish age, brethren, in John 1, 11 and 12. Our Lord went to his own, and his own received him? No, brethren. And his own received him not. The Lord gathered out of those who were fit to be his. And that's the little flock class. From the Jews, and all the remainder of that nation were condemned as a result of not receiving. They were passed by, and the wrath of God came on them to the uttermost. Romans 9:27, Matthew 23:37 and 38, and we know in AD 33, the nation lost their polity. Their house was left unto them desolate. Romans 11:7, you might want to note that one. What is the purpose of the delusion? Well, in Matthew 13:41, to gather out of his kingdom, ALL, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. To separate those who received not the love of the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. To gather out those who fail to come up to the requirements of their covenant and fullness of consecration. In fact, the scripture which you quoted was Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. It's very difficult for me, brethren, and I was just recently at my wife's kin at a funeral. And I have a very difficult time. I have to sit there and to listen. And the people are so wrapped up in listening to this individual, this minister. And I'm sitting there listening into this lie that was given way back when. You know the story. You know what I'm talking about. They're not dead. I had this happen with Mom, my mother. But I had to stand up. I couldn't take it. Way back when. She's gone. And I said, no, brother, she's right there. And I really wasn't as knowledgeable at this particular point in time of the scriptures. But for me to have to sit there and listen to all of these false, it's error, it's deceit, and how the people are being deluded to this extent. And you've been to funerals. strong delusions, brethren. No, the dead are not really dead. Christ, we know, the time frame here is the harvest that we're referencing, that he sends forth the reapers. The Lord not only sends the sickle of truth to gather the wheat, but he also sends the strong delusions to gather the tares. And the purpose, as we stated, is to gather all things out of all things that offend. Every testimony, brethren, of the Word of God is to the effect that the close of the harvest time is to be a time of special testing to all of those who profess to be the Lord's people. We see that, brethren. A harvest, there's more than one aspect to a harvest. There's the gathering. Do we not see the separating, the sifting out? Do we not see Psalms 91:7 being fulfilled today? Some falling here and some falling there in Psalms 91:7. This is a special test to you and myself. Brethren, when I give this, my motivation for any talk that I give, the motivation is love. Love for my brethren. You and I, brethren, have been invited to reign with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This has been extended to you. To you it has been given to know the truth. To the world of mankind, it has not. Do you know what time it is, brethren? We are at the end, down at the end of the gospel age. Brethren, it's beyond my comprehension to what you and I have been invited to. And I think about myself that the Lord made his face to shine on me, someone I know who is not worthy. But yet, I used to question God, why? Someone told me once, are you questioning God? I had the audacity to why me. And then someone told me, said, are you, don't think God knows what he's doing? And you are questioning why he opened your eyes to see and your ears to hear? I've never said that anymore. I realize, brethren, I fall far short. Far short. It's a striving each day for me. And I love my brethren. You're a special treasure, brethren. The Lord considers you as such. The adversary at this particular point in time, brethren, is being permitted or allowed to bring the strong delusions upon his people. Someone might ask the question, why would God permit strong delusions? Well, we quoted the scriptures a moment ago. It's for the very purpose of sifting out all that are not truly his. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, the Apostle Paul is writing here because the Thessalonians at that time seemed to have drawn a wrong conclusion from Paul's first epistle to them, supposing him to intimate that the day of the Lord would surely come in their day. The Thessalonian church were troubled to know whether it was true that the day of the Lord had come. So Paul wrote the second epistle in order to correct the error. And as we stated a moment ago, a delusion is an error when viewed from certain standpoints of observation, that is, has the appearance of truth. A delusion is more or less dangerous according to the importance of the truth which it misrepresents, beclouds, or falsifies. If followed, it leads accordingly to more or less disastrous consequences. Brethren, today, the world is full of delusions. You see it. You see it in your news media. Stock market, you name it. You see it in the political, social, ecclesiastical, financial. Look at what has transpired this past year. That which has been done in the dark is now being made manifest, brother. And as I stated, there are many kinds. And we stated that there are political, financial, religious, social, etc., etc. And there are millions and millions of people today, brethren, that are being misled. How? By devoting their time, their energy, only to realize in the end a whirlwind of confusion, disaster, and the utter wreck of all of their hopes. This is being permitted. When someone is deluded, he or she verily think that they are right. For instance, a person in business is misled by an apparent boom in their line of industry, the result could lead to financial disaster. If a man or a woman, if they're deluded by false ideas of life or by false appearances of character when choosing a mate for life, the result, brethren, may be many years of domestic misery. And also, yours and mine, our eternal interests may be and are continually affected by the delusions of error on religious subjects. A moment ago I stated that when a man is deluded, he verily thinks he is right. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 16:25, brother. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How about chapter 12, verse 15? even a fool. He's referencing here, the way of a fool is right in their own eyes. Here's the way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The same thing we read initially. And back to 16 and 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Let's take some examples, brethren. Saul of Tarsus. You know him. You've read about him. Who was this Saul of Tarsus? He was the instigator and the assistant in the murder of St. Stephen. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. Note the fact that Paul tells us that he acted in all good conscience. And he thought he was doing service to God and not to Satan, who had blinded his eyes. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The apostle. This is the Apostle Paul. How about the scribes and the Pharisees? These are the ones who were responsible for our Lord's death. They too thought they did God's service. And Peter tells us in Acts, turn with me if you will, to Acts 3. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. And Peter goes on to tell us, well, in verse 15 also, I believe, they killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And he goes on to say in verse 17 again, and now, brethren, I would that through ignorance, it was through ignorance that you did it, as did also your rulers. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 2:8. 1 Corinthians 2:8. We won't go into context. We don't have that time. And which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, brethren, we see it was in ignorance that they did it. Today, your eyes are open. I believe it's in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and I think it's the 11th verse, that one disciple had
the audacity to question our Lord, because he spoke to them in parables. He asked the question, why do you speak to them? I'm maybe paraphrasing it, but why do you speak to them in parables? They don't understand what you're saying. What did he do? He turned to that disciple and told him, To you it has been given. To them, the world of mankind, it has not. John tells us, I think it's chapter 3, I don't know the verse, but I think around, 17, 18. No, it's not, no, that's John 3, 16 through it. No, that's not the one I'm looking for. But no man can receive anything except it be given. Has he given it to the world? No, we can't. We have to be very sympathetic to the world of mankind, brother. They don't have the eye to see and the ear to hear. But you, blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. You and I have more responsibility, brother. Where much is given, much is required. I tell different ones that I talk to on occasion, I mean outside of the Bible students, and I let them understand, the world is not being judged this time. They're not on trial. The nations are being judged, but not the individuals. We realize there is a time coming when they're going to do what? In Jeremiah 31, they're going to all know him. The biggest, if you want to call it a conversion? They're going to all know him eventually, from the least unto the greatest. Because the knowledge of God will be in the land as the waters cover the great deep. No one will have an excuse. I had a problem in the very beginning when I first got the truth to learn. And I made, and I still make mistakes, don't misunderstand it, but at that particular point in time, I thought everybody should, and I wanted to condemn everybody else, because this is so good to me, I just want to take anybody to listen and shake them, and you'd better do this, you better do that. Well, that's the same thing I left out of the nominal system. I came up there all of my life. I never heard of any Bible students. What is that? We had a Bible all my life, ever since I was old enough to know anything. I even had it in my home after we married, but it never got anything but dust. I never opened that book. I was told it's frightening. I wouldn't even open it. I'm perfectly honest with you, brother. But I'm so thankful today. I didn't realize what I was doing. My motivation was love. But I was trying to impose my thoughts and my thinking on someone else, which is totally incorrect. My family, I alienated everyone. I don't have anyone consecrated in my family. You are blessed. I see husbands and wives and sons and daughters, and they can converse. I've never had that. I still don't have it. These are the ones that I can understand what they're saying. I can converse. I don't have that when I go to my own family in the flesh. It's where I made a pipe when I come around you. Don't take it for granted, brethren. Don't take it for granted. I was in total ignorance. I was all the way out as far as you could go in the camp. I was outside. So I can appreciate this marvelous light. I didn't come up in the court. I tell my dear brethren that have been in the truth, all that came up in that type environment, don't take it for granted. You're not able to make the contrast that some of us can make that were outside. You can't make the contrast between that marvelous light to come out of ignorance as I was and to come into that marvelous light. I get excited. I've been blessed. You have been blessed. I don't take it for granted. I was telling Sister Virginia a moment ago when I came in here, I tell my brethren that I get very shaken. I don't want to sound a discordant note, brethren. I am the one who are gonna, I'm gonna have that responsibility. If I give a, when I sound the trumpet and I give a discord note, it's me that's going to reap that which is what's supposed to be done to me. I'm very careful with what I tell the brethren. I want to make sure that I know what I'm saying. You and I, brethren, we know. We are all as a result of the fall. There are none of us that are good. No, not one. But brethren, you and I have been blessed with that which is necessary to make our calling and election sure. We have been given a robe, the robe of righteousness, when we made our consecration. And we have access, a direct line, to the throne of grace. And he said in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 2, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly and ask for mercy and for grace. On occasion, no, brethren, in every time of need. Utilize that which has been given to us, brethren. Keep it. We've got the best cleaner that you... There's none that will compare. The blood of our Lord. And brethren, in closing, I love this, what you have up here, this, these brethren. For I didn't get into where I wanted to go, who will be able to stand. I didn't cover those, but I kind of closed my notes. For if ye do these things, and you know the things that we're talking about, what will happen? Ye shall never fall. Brethren, again, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. May the Lord add His blessing.
What time is it? Well, don't look at your watches. You should look at your Bible. That's how we know the times. We may not know it to the second, but we can get pretty close, and we know the time is getting close for the church to be completed and for the millennial day to shine brightly upon all mankind. So we gotta get ourselves ready, and we know that the adversary is struggling more and more to fight against the church, the gathering of the church, because that's his great adversary. And we got to stand stronger than ever. So thank you, Brother Freeman, and watch out for strong delusions. We'll turn to hymn 135 in closing. Rising at the last verse.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. We're thankful again, Father, for this opportunity to be here in the midst of those of like precious faith. We're thankful for blessing our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We're thankful for the robe of righteousness that has been provided and for the throne of grace. We realize, Father, all things come from Thee, and no man receiveth anything except it be given. Father, we ask Thy continued blessings upon the convention, upon those dear ones who will be leaving upon their travel. We ask for Thy forgiveness where we sin and fall short. We ask for Thy blessings upon those dear ones the world over, especially those undergoing special trials and those that are isolated. In the name and merit of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I would like to quickly remind you or let you know that Brother George Stabak will have a presentation, a slide presentation, so we will have a screen over here. So if you all could come a little closer, because the writing will be a little smaller probably, so you could see better. Thank you. Yeah, it's also only 15 minutes, so...